Tired of the price of everything going up these days? Groceries, rent, you name it. It's all going up. But not at Metro. They've got your back. Metro has lowered their prices and are giving you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. One line? Now 20% lower. Family plans? Also lowered. Oh, and you also get a free 5G phone. All with no ID required and no activation fees. Stop by your neighborhood Metro store, visit metrobytmobile.com, or call to find out about their amazing offers. Bring your number, not available if currently at T-Mobile or with Metro in the past 180 days. Guarantee covers monthly price of on-network talk, text, and 5G data for customers activating on an eligible plan. Exclusions apply. Details at metrobytmobile.com.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
And here we go, Digital Adele back with another Hoops Profile Beyond the Backboard podcast for you with my co-host, Matt Hanifin. How are you doing today, Matt?
I'm doing good, man. I'm doing good. How about you?
I am out of my mind in mock draft madness. We did our own mock draft the other day, and now we're doing another mock draft by going through someone else's. We're going to be all up in Gavoni's business, because I believe him and Jeremy Wu were the one that did this mock draft for ESPN, their latest mock draft as of June the 10th, and we are going to critique it to high heaven. No, I'm just joking. We're going to go through it. I'm sure it's good stuff, but we may have differing opinions, and we'll share it. We're really looking for you to send us, you the viewer, send us your mock draft so we can talk about them live on air prior to June 25th. So if you want to be part of the show, this is how you do it. Let's get into it. The very first pick is shocker, man.
Next.
Stunner.
Like, we don't need to go through this.
I'm sure that the people out there want to know who the first pick is, Matt Hanifin. Who? Oh, it's Cooper Flagg. Shocking. And you know what else is less shocking about that? That Gavoni or Wu, whoever made this pick, worked in Luka Doncic in the write-up. I mean, it's easy money. Easy money to connect those two and talk about those two in the write-up. I would have done the same thing. Let's see who the number two pick is. Can anybody guess? Dylan, no.
Whoa. Okay, no, this is team need versus best value.
Oh, is that what that is?
They're doing.
Oh, yes. Team need versus best value. Cooper Flagg was both.
Yeah.
All right, so Gavoni fills the biggest need. Con Knipple is the biggest need at number two for San Antonio. And he thinks surrounding the stars, Wimby, Castle, and Fox, with shooting would be the best fit. Do you agree, Matt Hanifin?
I do not agree.
Ooh, talk to me about it.
I think shooting, it's like a 1A, 1B. I think the 1A for them is finding a way to like have a backup big.
Yeah.
And so, like, in this hype, like, not to say I would draft Kaman Malawach too, but I also wouldn't draft Knipple. Like, it, you know, like, if I'm thinking, like, their biggest need, I think their biggest need is a backup big behind Wimby and potentially someone that you can play alongside him in that front court. And you either look to Newell or you either look to Malawach, someone of that ilk. And so that, yeah, like, I mean, again, not that I say, not that I think Knipple's not, like, obviously you can't have enough shooting, and they do need shooting in the sense that, like, Castle was a below average shooter last season.
Yeah.
De'Aaron Fox is a solid 3-point shooter. He's a good, not great 3-point shooter.
Right.
Obviously, we've seen Wemby, you know, expand his range, and he's been, you know, he was more efficient last year, I believe. Right. But they're still not, like, a great, great shooting team. Obviously, Fasel can shoot. Jeremy Sohan's not a good shooter. Like, so they do have some question marks there. And so Knipple, for that reason, would help. But I just think it's a slight difference. You could talk me into either one. But I would say their biggest need is having a backup, getting a backup big. But with the number two overall pick, again, that's why they had the beauty of having two picks is it gives you that flexibility. Like, okay, I can just take Dylan Harper right now. I know Dylan Harper's not a great shooter either. Right. And we already have a bunch of point guards with Castle, with Fox, but you're getting that talent now, and then you're figuring it out later, because I think there's still a world where all three of those guys can coexist. And then you can address whether it's shooting a backup big if one fault, like, you can address that at 14, assuming you don't trade that pick. And so they have some flexibility, but just in general, I think finding another front court partner is a slightly bigger need.
No, I get it. That makes a lot of sense, and there's a lot of smoke that this pick could be traded. I think, though, it would be kind of foolish to just not take Dylan Harper and figure the rest out later if you stay at two. That's kind of how I feel about it. But there is a lot of smoke out there on the internet, the old interwebs, because we know Twitter is real life. There's a lot of smoke out there that they're looking to trade off that pick. The same thing with 76ers looking to get off theirs, blah, 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 blah.
And what would you trade? What would you trade it for?
If I was San Antonio?
Like, let's say Daryl Morey calls you up if you're San Antonio. If you're Greg Popovich, what do you think the offer is? And what, or I guess,
it what better include Giannis.
Well, no, I'm saying like, well, I'm saying Daryl Morey. Like, if Daryl Morey calls you and is like, yo, I want to move up from 3 to 2, like, what's your...
I was like, how does this get me Giannis? Like? that's the conversation. Like, there's really nothing they could trade me that I'd be like, okay, yeah, you can have a talent like Harper. Now, and if they're like, you can have, I don't know what their pick situation is in 2027, if or 2026, because if they have a very high pick in the 2026 draft, and we can do some multiple swaps, yeah, I mean, maybe, because I would need somebody that can help me win right now. They're in win now mode. It would have to be a later pick this year also, and a high pick in 2026. So, and because they don't have any players they're going to trade me that I'm going to want. I don't want a broken Tobias Harris. I'm not absorbing.
Tobias Harris is in Detroit.
Oh, that's right. He's already gone. Oh yeah. My brain. Anyway, I don't want a broken Paul George. They're not a Paul George away from winning anything. So I wouldn't be absorbing Paul George's contract. It would have to be a later round pick in this draft and a high pick next season and next draft.
It's difficult though, because of the stepping rule. You can't trade picks in consecutive years. And so how would they do that?
Not my problem. You figure it out, Morey. You're either getting me Giannis or we're hanging up. Like, that's the whole point. That's the whole point. Wu picks Dylan Harper. He got it right. Just take the guy and figure it out. Although, again, all the videos on Twitter tell me his shooting form is fine. Doesn't make any sense. Like, what are do people really believe that stuff too? That's the problem. People really actually believe those videos too. They're like, oh, there's nothing wrong with the way he shoots. The Philadelphia 76ers. Gavone fills the biggest need with Ace Bailey, all 5'9" of them, according to Matt Hanifin. Do you agree?
It's the same thing for Philadelphia than it is for San Antonio. You're gonna need to find a contingency plan for Embiid if he can't stay healthy.
So 100%, man. 100%. Definitely the biggest need.
Figuratively and literally.
Figuratively and literally. And I don't know. I mean, the best value being VJ Edgecombe, maybe. Because I got Trey Johnson right there, too. I love Trey Johnson. I think he would be a perfect fit in any of those systems where he doesn't have to be the lead guy and he can just snipe, basically. And develop. He can develop his defensive stuff later. That too. But you can't go wrong with VJ Edgecombe's strength, athleticism. He became a better three-point shooter as the season went on. So it's debatable. It isn't clear-cut to me that VJ Edgecombe would be the best value here. Number four, the Charlotte Hornets. Filling their biggest need. He doesn't even mention it.
Oh, it says Harper.
Wait, but how are they getting Harper?
Well, they're trading up. Just saying the pick that fills the biggest need potentially in that range.
So they just trade up.
Yeah.
Because Harper's not falling to four. This is such a weird way to go about this.
That's all right.
Is he even the biggest need for them, though? Wouldn't Trey Johnson or VJ Edgecombe fit better since LaMelo Ball is ball dominant?
I was going to say, I think VJ is the better fit. I mean, I get it's splitting hairs, but I think VJ fits better. VJ or Trey fits better than Dylan.
Absolutely.
That's assuming that you keep LaMelo.
Yeah, that's
I don't
very
think they're going to trade him, nor do I think you're really going to get a whole lot back, but in the chance that you do trade him, then yes, Harper would be the better option, I think.
Okay. But Wu's best value is Con Knipple. Again, Trey Johnson not mentioned. I disagree. I love Con Knipple's game. Love his game. Everybody knows how much I've talked about Con from the beginning of the season, the college basketball season. There's no planet I'm picking him over Trey Johnson. There just isn't a planet where I'm doing it. Do you see a world that you would take Con Knipple over Trey Johnson?
Probably not.
Yeah, I don't see it. Let's see what he says. While there's a case for Bailey's upside being difficult to pass up here, Knipple arguably has a better chance to reach his full potential. I could see that. Number five, Gavoni fills the biggest need with VJ Edgecombe. I guess. I mean, they got Collier. They have. We went through all the guards the other day. Keontae George. You got Colin Sexton, Jordan Clarkson. Who's the kid in the backcourt front court they're developing? Was that guy? They're not
Cody
really
Williams.
High on him. Cody Williams, that guy.
I mean, Sexton and Clarkson are—they're both expiring. They're both.
Please
I'm guessing they
trade them. Yeah, please yeah. trade them. Wu says best value is Ace Bailey. He'd be a great value pick at five.
Yeah,
he'd be a great value pick. He's a tough shot maker. I mean, him and Keontae George on the floor at the same times would be clunky because they both like to shoot that thing. I don't know how many passes are going to be going around. Isaiah Collier is going to have to be finding the matchups. At six, Gavoni has the biggest need for the Wizards. Come on, Malawach. Good Lord. Come on, Malawach and Alex Sarr. Holy crap. You're telling me.
You just
me.
Have to hope that his... You would have to hope Sarr's shooting improves.
Or Malawach's.
Yeah, or both.
One of them.
Or both, but considering that none of the other players could shoot all that well.
No, good luck scoring inside, though. Like yeah. That's a tall task.
Whoa, man.
Whoa. Wu says the best value. Come on, Malawach. They agreed on something. I don't like this draft anymore. They agreed. Disqualifying. The New Orleans Pelicans. While you generate my content for me, Gavoni says, Trey Johnson is the Pelicans' biggest need. I actually agree with this 1,000%. 1,000%.
Yeah.
Because with DeJounte Murray, you need a shot maker in that backcourt. And with McCollum, obviously, we know he had some issues staying healthy for a lot of his career. He's a smaller guard. And let's face it, he's on the back nine. You know, he's not putting from the first tee. And so you could put VJ Edgecombe in there. You pair him with, they got a full rebuild on their hands. But you got Misi, a hard roll guy. You got DeJounte Murray, long wingspan. You got a lot of length in your backcourt and shooting. I like it a lot.
Zion, Trey Murphy, Herb Jones.
Yeah, but Herb may be on the move. Trey Murphy, though. Whew. He's going to be really good for them. Zion, I mean, is he ever healthy? I'm not counting on it. Jeremiah Fears is the best value. I again disagree. I know they can't keep picking the same player, but Trey Johnson would be the biggest need and the best value if you can get him at 7.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Jeremiah Fears, I like, but he's not the best value. The Brooklyn Nets at 8, who are linked to all kind of trade speculation. Dude, it keeps freaking me out when somebody is in our chat, which is cool. Say hello, like, subscribe on playback, but it doesn't show who's in the chat anymore. I think Sales D found a way to make himself invisible. That's my guess. But yeah, so Gavoni has Jeremiah Fears as the Nets' biggest need. And I absolutely agree. Absolutely agree. Any thoughts from you on this?
No.
Wu has the best value is Trey Johnson. If Trey Johnson falls to 8, heck yeah. Huge value. Huge value. What do you think about Gavoni having the Toronto Raptors' biggest need? It's Derek Queen.
He already said Malawatch, so I get.
Oh, I got it. That makes sense.
At least you scroll up. I think he did say it.
He did. He put Malawatch in another mock already.
No, he's their biggest lead.
But we'll scroll up because now you have me second guessing myself. Yeah, because that's where they agreed.
I don't disagree with Toronto. Derek Queen feels like very like Raptors-y, just with the kind of skill that he has offensively.
Right.
He feels like a very Raptors Masai pick.
Do you think he's the best value also?
No.
I don't either. I think if you're going to back up big, in my opinion, it's Thomas Sorber.
Yeah.
But that's just me. We're a connoisseur of opinions around here. So Wu and Gavoni are entitled to theirs. At number 10, Gavoni has the biggest need. Kasperis Jakachonis, point guard.
Oh, dude, that'd be kind of gross. I mean, Houston.
What happens to Reed Shepard?
He plays next to him.
Like, off the bench? Like, this is their bench unit. Casp, Reed.
If they don't trade, I mean, I'm guessing they're going to keep Fred for his last year and maybe look to explore at the deadline if some deal sparks, unless they, you know, if they're able to, you know, if they somehow, some way want to trade for Kevin Durant, then they move off of him then for salary relief. But like, yeah, I think Cass can play alongside either one of those guys. Some point they're going to want to get off Jaylen.
Yeah, he definitely can. I love Kasperis Jakachonis' game. I really don't understand how people didn't watch the full like breadth of his season and realized, even though they were saying he's struggling, he was still getting double digit points, 6 rebounds and 6 assists, like on a nightly basis. No matter what you thought of his play, like that was his stats on a nightly basis. And he's got an NBA ready body, big hands, like, yeah, guy can play. Wu has the best value is Colin Murray Boyles. Matt, your
that would
face
be kind of
fun.
That would be kind of funny though, like just another kind of wing who isn't a good shooter.
Right, right.
Like they would be so disruptive defensively. Like that's why when we were doing our mock the other day,
but who
like,
would he play over?
He'd be playing over like Tari or Jabari.
I don't see that happening. Yeah, I don't see that happen.
If they take him at 10, I could definitely see it happen.
I mean, but if they take him at 10, it would have to kind of happen, but I don't even think. Yeah, I don't. That would be a big mistake, in my opinion. That would be a big mistake.
It would like that's kind of why in our other mock draft the other day, where I was like, if OKC kind of did this, like, yeah, I'm not a fan of CMB for the
right
reasons that we've belabored over and over and over and over again.
Right.
But it would be kind of funny just to watch how disruptive defensively they were. If,
oh, yeah.
Just in a vacuum. Not saying the fit would be perfect or anything good, but just on that end of the floor, it would be like, well, okay, that'd be something.
Absolutely. Number 11, the Portland Trailblazers take Yager Dinman. Wow. I mean, Trailblazers don't appear to have any immediate needs that can be filled by a player in this draft range. What? Are we talking about the same franchise? Huh?
No, they definitely do have needs. Come on.
Wu says the best value would be Kasper Šljakečonis. Heck yeah, he falls to 11. Great value. Absolutely great value. The Chicago Bulls at 12. Biggest need, Colin Murray-Boyles. Again, no Thomas Sorber. Shocking. I'm shocked.
I think you and I are higher on Sorber than the consensus, though.
Yeah, that's true. Wu's best value pick, Noah Hasenge. What? At 12?
Did you watch their game today?
I did not. I'll be watching it right after our pod.
Okay. I'm not going to spoil it for you. I was able to watch it.
Did anything impress you?
There were a couple Serif stuff that impressed me.
Okay. What were your thoughts on Austin game?
He was let's just say, hey, listen, I'm not going to give you any spoilers. He was better than he was in game 4.
Okay. Well, that's not a high bar, but yes.
No, it wasn't.
Don't worry, Coach Lou on Twitter tried to spoil it. Every time I saw an alert from him today, I just minimized it. He put everybody's stats in a tweet like all day, like first quarter, second quarter. I was like,
yeah,
come on, dude.
I mean, hey, he was watching it on the Discord.
That he was. He did tweet that out. I don't know how he's getting around that, though, because it still blocks me. It says I'm from the U.S. I can't watch it. Even
I found
VPN.
A YouTube stream.
Oh, you found a separate stream. Okay, gotcha. Copy.
I found a YouTube. I mean, I don't know what he was using. I was just using a YouTube stream to watch
gotcha.
It.
Gotcha. So, with that being said, do you think this is wise from the Chicago Bulls to take either Boyles or Asenge? I picked 12.
No, I don't like it for really either of them.
Yeah, I don't.
I can kind of see it for Boyles. I think Asenge is still a little too raw for.
He's super raw. That's what I don't understand about people that are talking to me about no Asenge. Like, he can shoot when he doesn't have to move an inch. Like, if he's just standing still, he can shoot. Otherwise, he's always off balance, like jumping sideways, leaning left or right. And then he's not really a big, and he's not really have good enough handles to be a small forward. So, like, what is he?
He's going to have to get a lot bigger, and he's going to have to modify his skill set, because they use him in kind of a weird way. But I think in a perfect world, he's a four.
Yeah, but I think he has the body type and frame of a three.
Yeah, he's gonna have to get bigger, and that's like part of like, I think it's gonna take a couple years for him to you really see like what he actually is, just because he's super skinny.
And
they play him in a role that skinny players don't play in. For them specifically, I'm not saying that's how he's gonna be used. Like they use him a lot in like the post and whatnot. I don't think that's how he's gonna
dribble.
I don't think that's gonna be how he's used at the NBA level, given how offenses operate today.
Very true.
He's still gonna have to get bigger because he's just gonna get pushed around, especially defensively.
Like he does right now in Germany. He just gets pushed around all day long. Number 13, the Atlanta Hawks taking Joan Behringer. I love Joan Behringer. They do need a backup set. They do need a long-term starting center type. This is as high as I've ever seen Joan Behringer predicted to go. Like, I know this isn't a prediction, but it is filling a need. And he does have the physical tools, and Gavoni mentions that as well, to really fill out and develop into like a mobile big that can block shots, rim run, gets a nice touch around the basket. I really like Joan Behringer. Do I like him at 13? No.
I don't like him above Sorber.
Heck no. Wu's pick that gets the best value is Damien. Trey Johnson insurance?
You mean no? Trey Young?
What did I say? Trey Johnson.
Yeah, you said Trey
Young
Johnson.
Insurance. Yeah, Trey Young
and
insurance.
Trey Johnson on the Hawks. You heard it here first.
That would make me so sad. But it would be bananas for the Hawks. Holy crap.
Him and Trey together, like,
wow. Yeah,
fun offensively.
Really fun offensively. Let's see here. Number 14, the Spurs back on the clock. Carter Bryant would fill their biggest need.
You want to double up on shooting?
I mean, his shooting, I think, is good, but I don't think it's going to be like 40% in the NBA. I mean, I think he's going to be like a 34, 35%er, which isn't bad to start.
He was 38 last year, no?
In college. I think he's going to be less than that in the NBA. Like, his shooting mechanics need some work. Like, they're not terrible, but they do need some work. And he plays
37.1.
He plays offensively a little stiff-hipped. And same thing with his shot motion. His shot motion isn't fluid. It's a little stiff. But anyway, I like him. Wu also says this is the best value at 14. Have you seen Carter Bryant going at 14 anywhere?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, still no Sorber. Gavoni at 15 for OKC. Biggest need, Noah Asenga. They don't have any needs. So this is a tough one.
We're applying the Portland logic. This is a team that doesn't have any needs to address in this range.
You know, that's the craziest thing in this article. And he said Portland, they don't really have any needs. And then it comes to OKC. And then it comes to OKC. They got a big need. It's funny, man. Wu has Behringer being their best value. I mean, why not? If Behringer's on the board and they need a center, Sorber's off the board, of course. Yeah. The Orlando Magic at 16, the biggest need, Jace Richardson. You said that. Gavoni's biting off you.
Hey, listen, man, great minds think alike.
Tired of the price of everything going up these days? Groceries, rent, you name it. It's all going up. But not at Metro. They've got your back. Metro has lowered their prices and are giving you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. One line, now 20% lower. Family plans? Also lowered. Oh, and you also get a free 5G phone. All with no ID required and no activation fees. Stop by your neighborhood Metro store, visit metrobytmobile.com, or call to find out about their amazing offers. Bring your number, not available if currently at T-Mobile or with Metro in the past 180 days. Guarantee covers monthly price of on-network talk, text, and 5G data for customers activating on an eligible plan. Exclusions apply. Details at metrobytmobile.com.
Like, I can't.
Oh, there it is.
I can't speak for myself or anything.
And just like you, Wu says their best value is Will Riley. That's you. You like that too. I know you do.
All right. Let's not get too carried away now. Too much dip in your chip, Adele.
Too much dip in my chip. I almost want to do a Busta Rhymes verse there. The Minnesota Timberwolves' biggest need, Danny Wolf. I like that.
That's, I was going to say, I kind of like that too, actually.
Yeah, that's a perfect fit. Does what Naz Reid does, but a little bit better.
Except I was going to say, like, both Randall and Reid have player options. Randall for, I think, $30-31 million. Reid for $15-16 million.
Right.
I don't know, remember what the exact figure was, but it was around that mark. If both of them opt out, and I don't know if a sign-in trades will be conducted, I don't know if they're going to even try to move them before that, whether it's right for Durant or anything like that. You know what I mean? I wonder if they actually do go with like a big that they can play next to Gobert here.
True. That's
assuming
a great
Gobert
point.
Isn't also moved, because there's been smoke floated around with that. I don't know how true that is or how viable that is, like how practical, but I could see them going like a Danny Wolf here, and I kind of like it just because of the skill and whatnot.
Absolutely. Wu has best value, Ace Anul.
I wouldn't mind that either.
Especially since he's the number two big on your big board. Is he? Or number one?
No, he's one spot ahead of Malawach.
Okay, so he's your number one big on your big board.
Again, it's like I have all three of them together. Like I have Newell. Right. I want to say I'd have to look at it again because I haven't looked at it since we last did it. I have Newell, Malawach, and Sorber back-to-back-to-back.
Right.
So they're I could wake up tomorrow being like, you know what? I kind of like Malawach, or I kind of like Sorber. I don't know. I still haven't. That's what I have it at right now. That's my analysis, but we'll see come June 25th what it actually
You've is. Not cemented it in your mind yet. I gotcha.
That's one of the. No, that position, the top of that position's the furthest from cemention. I don't even know if that's an actual word.
I don't know, but I like it.
it's the furthest from being cemented in my brain right now.
We should tweet it out. Is cemention a word? Yeah, let's tweet that out.
Someone pull up ChatGPT and see if cemention or Webster's. I don't. What do the kids use nowadays?
What do the kids use? Are our dictionaries outdated? Do we need new dictionaries? Yeah. So the other surprising thing about all of this, we talked about Sorber being on the board. They took Joan Behringer at 13 as the best fit. Biggest value. Ace and Newell was sitting out there the whole time. Wild.
I like, yeah.
At 18, the Washington Wizards' biggest need, Nolan Torre. Sorry, bub. Sorry. To the bench you go, I guess. Nolan Torre, biggest need. And man, these words got to cut like a knife. The Wizards don't have a surefire starting caliber point guard they can point to on the roster currently. Wow. They ran like a three-guard lineup last season, right? Like Bub Carrington, Bilal Coulibaly, Jordan Poole.
AJ Johnson somewhere in there.
AJ Johnson's on the bench. I don't like this for them, actually. Don't like this for them at all. But if that was their best value at 18, I would. Heck yeah, it's a great value for Nolan Torre. It's good value.
I think their biggest need is shooting.
Well, their best value happens to be Liam McNeely. Like, there you go.
Let's see if Liam McNeely doesn't have to handle the ball as much as he did.
Is that Corey Kispert? No, I'm just kidding. Number 19.
Why do we need Corey Kispert when we have Corey Kispert at home?
That's right.
A picture of Liam McNeely.
That's right.
You trade Kispert away as soon as you get that pick because it's like, we don't need you anymore. We have the next you.
We have new Corey Kispert.
Yeah, we have new Corey Kispert. It's just Liam McNeely.
The Brooklyn Nets. Cavoni has their biggest need. This doesn't make any sense. As Liam McNeely.
They need shooting.
Yeah, but...
I mean, they need a lot of things.
They need a lot. A lot. They need a lot, a lot, a lot. That's my thing. Like, Liam McNeely, who cannot handle the ball at all, can't. He's not going to get to the rim in the NBA at all.
No.
He's going to need somebody to create for him. Like, Cam Thomas isn't passing him the ball.
Listen, Cam Thomas isn't passing anyone the ball. What are you talking about?
That is very true. That's my point.
Who did Brooklyn have in the first? Who do they have Brooklyn in this first? Like, because that could determine some of it.
Scroll up.
I don't remember who it was.
It was Jeremiah Fears. There's the facilitation.
Yeah, I was gonna say. There you go.
Second, the best value was Cam Johnson or Trey Johnson. Oh my God, I am struggling.
Yeah, they need a lot. So it's, again, you're shooting for upside at that point.
Well, the best value, according to Wu. Oh, Hassani, what's up, man? Thank you for commenting on playback. He says, Nets can just shoot darts at their draft board, and it'll likely be a fit.
Honestly, that's kind of what it is. I mean, it's difficult once you get to 27 and 28 or whatever their last two picks are, because it's like the board's kind of thinned out at that point.
Right.
But pretty much.
No, he's 100% right about that. Thomas Sorber, I think, would be outstanding value at 19. Value at 19. And if he was still on the board at pick 19, I think the Heat would have a very, very tough decision if they kept this pick to go get him or take who their biggest need is, according to Gavoni. Which is Ben Sarif, somebody I've scouted probably more than any international player I've ever watched or scouted. It's Ben Sarif. So I'm very familiar with him. I'm right on board with him. This is their biggest need. They need a playmaking lead guard with size that can facilitate. Got a lot of room to grow along with young Khalil Ware, Bam Adebayo. I mean, I guess Tyler.
I love watching Ben Sarif manipulate defenses.
Oh, he's so good at it. Now, one thing I will say I saw on his tape in these playoffs that came to light, I saw it in earlier games, but it wasn't as prominent because the competition wasn't as good. He sometimes sees things before everybody else, but will throw a bullet pass through traffic. And you can't do that at higher levels.
Yeah, you
can. Somebody just tips it, it hits an arm or whatever. It's either got to be a bounce pass or it's got to be over the top. You cannot throw chest passes through traffic.
He will throw those like laser skip passes.
Absolutely. Sonny says, I'm intrigued by Hugo Gonzalez for the Heat. Measurements are great. Would be a top 10 pick if he went to BYU. I love Hugo Gonzalez, but the problem with his stock, he never plays. He never plays. He's played 5 minutes a game for the season, and he played one half in the playoffs. That was it. And Hassani, I'll have to push back on you. I think Sarif does play with pace. He does play with pace. I think he's actually really good with pace. The problem with Sarif is when he gets to the rim, he's not physical. And sometimes he's too enamored with just putting the ball above his head, using his height, try to shoot, and he gets a shot blocked when he should just look, make that corner pass.
I also don't love Sarif's, like, the more I watch him, the more I notice this. He's not explosive at the rim.
No, he's not. He's definitely
so
not.
That's the fact that he, one, that he's too crafty for his own good sometimes.
Right.
Not that it's a bad thing, but like you have to learn how to finish through contact to the next level.
Exactly.
And two, the fact that he doesn't have much vertical pop, like he's going to get a shot blocked a lot if he's not careful.
Absolutely. But the thing is with Seraph's game, what I think he'll realize eventually, hopefully he realizes it. You're looking at that low man help defender rotating over. That's got to be what you're looking for.
Right. Yeah.
Because when you get into the paint in the league like that, they're just going to punch your shot in the next week. So as you beat people, because he beats his man consistently, as you beat people and you get to the rim, you find the low man help, wherever that rotation is coming from, you're kicking to the open man.
I think he does that sometimes, just not consistent.
Exactly. That's my thing. He doesn't do it consistently. So you'll notice sometimes he makes up his mind that he's going to the rim no matter what.
Yeah.
I'm going to the rim.
Yeah.
Hassani says, what do you think of Seraph's defense? Better than Goran's?
Yes.
I think he has a better physical makeup for defensively. The mentality is what's important. I've seen plays and possessions where Seraph locks in defensively and he has really good reps. I see other times where he stands straight up and down and gets blown by because it's a mentality, a want-to, and a discipline. It's a discipline to always be in that stance and wanting to do it. Gavoni says, for the best value, Jace Richardson. I mean, if he falls to 20, absolutely a fantastic value for Jace Richardson. The Utah Jazz. Gavoni has the best value. I'll let you take this one, Matt Hanifin.
Hey, listen, man, you don't got to tell me. They need a lot.
But they need a lot.
Nick Clifford.
Oh, my God, Nick Clifford. You don't know anything about him, do you?
No. Never watched him, heard of him. Who is this guy?
Who is this Nick Clifford from Colorado State? Yeah, the Jazz need a lot. So, I mean, he's an athlete. They'll get more athletic. He's a competitor, too. I think that's the biggest thing. Like, he's a fierce competitor. Maybe a little too much. You saw that elbow to the head in the NCAA tournament that almost got him ejected.
They didn't even review it for a flagrant. Like,
it's insane. It's one of the most insane things.
They had to have missed it, and it was kind of, yeah.
Like, I thought for sure he was getting ejected when I saw it in real time. I was like, oh, he's getting ejected. And then, nope, didn't even review it. I'm like, woo, dodged the bullet. Woo has the best value for Wolf is Danny Wolf for the Utah Jazz. That would be, again, great value for Danny Wolf. Very good value. The Atlanta Hawks' biggest need, Cedric Coward. This actually goes to what we said earlier. Put shooting beside Trae Young. It works.
I don't know if that's their biggest need, though.
What do you think their biggest need would be at this point in their second pick?
It's got to be like a backup plan to Trae, or you need point of attack defense. I don't think they have enough.
So you have Jalen Johnson, you have Dyson Daniels, Zachary Richey.
Oh, okay, I forgot about Dyson. Let me take that back.
Dang, homie.
I did forget about that for a second.
Right.
Thank you for holding me accountable.
It's what I'm here for. Hold your feet to the fire.
I still think they would need another backup option to trade, though.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. But with all the guards that went back to school at pick 22, who's there? Walter Clayton Jr.
Yeah. It's probably not the best idea.
Yep. Wu says, now Wu's getting funky here. Funky. Best value, pick 22, Maximum Reynaert. Not Thomas Sorber?
Well, Sorber's already been picked.
Has he? As best value?
Thought it was 19 he got picked right before Miami.
Oh, he did. He took him at 19. Best value. Gotcha. I mean, that's really early for Reynaert. In my opinion, I'm lower on Reynaert than most people. What do you think about it?
I don't think it's the best value, no.
Yeah, I don't think so either. The Indiana Pacers, Gavoni has biggest need, Thomas Sorbers.
Ooh, that'd be kind of gross, dude.
Sorry,
him
Thomas.
Behind Bryant. Miles?
Well, Miles Turner is a free agent this summer.
They're going to extend.
Maybe.
I feel like it's pretty set in stone that they're going to extend.
All right. Matt Hanifin, you've heard it first.
Didn't they already say a couple days ago that they're gonna be a luxury tax team for the first time in two decades by extending him?
Probably.
Like, they can extend him as soon as the finals. Especially if they win a title with them, yeah, they're gonna extend.
Well, if they win a title, yeah, I'm pretty sure it's a done deal. But you're probably right.
It's a done deal anyway.
I was gonna say you're probably right. It's probably a done deal anyway. So yeah, Sorber backing him up would be awesome for them. It wouldn't be so awesome for Thomas Bryant. He'd probably.
Or Tony Bradley.
Well, Tony Bradley shouldn't even have been on the roster.
And neither should Thomas Bryant. like what? For really, they don't have a backup big, a suitable option.
That's very true. Wu has their best value as Neat Clifford.
Oh, dude.
Yeah.
That's gross.
Yeah, it's good for them. That would be a good spot. Gross.
That would be a great spot for them.
What a pick. This is a Oklahoma City Thunder pick if I've ever seen one. Gavoni, biggest need, Hugo Gonzalez. Just a athletic piece of moldable clay. Sit on the bench because we don't need you. He would actually probably end up beating out Dylan Jones, their draft pick from last year, in minutes. And he'd probably take more minutes from AJ Lawson. Their pick, they had two picks last year, so in that mid round spot. So, yeah, Wu has best value, Nolan Troy. Why is Nolan on the board at 24? I don't understand, but yeah, that'd be great value for Nolan Troy.
They just drafted Topic. I mean, yeah, I guess it's best value,
Best value. The Orlando Magic. Gavoni says their biggest need is Maxim Reynaud, not a guard that can shoot. Did they?
They have Wendell Carter Jr., Mo Wagner, and Goga. Unless if they trade at least two of those guys.
I don't see it.
It's not that it's off. It's on the table. That's certainly a possibility.
But he doesn't say that they're trading them in this scenario. Like, that's the problem.
Because I don't think he's playing next to them. And he's not playing, unless if you're sliding both Franz and Paolo down, which I don't think you do. I don't know. I just respectfully disagree there.
I like how you're so respectful to people. I just say what I think.
I'm not gonna say I'm an expert. I have thoughts and opinions, but
you're an expert around here, Matt Hanifin. Wu picked has the best value as Hugo Gonzalez. I like it. The guards are there are no point guards left other than Clayton Jr. that can shoot.
Mm.
But he'd actually fit kind of nice, but he's, you know, he'd actually fit really nice, Clayton Jr. I don't know. Maybe Clayton
what
Jr.
What does Orlando do this offseason? Wellman's already come out and said that he wants to, like, kind of push this into, like, okay, we actually want to contend.
They're going to have to make a trade.
The noise out of Orlando, maybe I have the wrong timeline, which is, again, perfectly on the table. It feels alarmingly silent on what they could potentially do.
Yeah, they need to make a trade if they can't get a good guard that can shoot. They need to make a trade.
Kevin Durant?
Kevin Durant wonders, but he's not going to go there.
I don't think that would happen.
And they don't have enough to get him in. And it really, at this point in his career, he wouldn't want to play there. So, like, they're not going to trade for him because he doesn't want to be there. That's why he's leaving Phoenix, because he doesn't want to be there.
He's better than the other team in South Florida. So,
whoa! The Brooklyn Nets' biggest need is Will Riley.
Yeah, this is the point where you're just chucking darts.
Yeah,
best perhaps value. At a glass window, perhaps at a dartboard. I don't know,
right?
What exactly they're throwing darts at? But...
Or at a glass backboard that Will Riley may hit from time to time. Will's yeah, listen, best value
I don't know
pick
if Will Riley
is Coward.
Has access to the to Brooklyn's facility, but yeah, it might just be a backboard that he may or may not shoot at.
Will Riley can shoot. He actually
now he can. Sometimes
he can't really do much else. Is the problem? Like I saw somebody on again because Twitter's real life. They said Will Riley's got great handles, and I'm like. What have you been watching?
There's a world where he can have good handles. It's just not right now.
Yeah. Like they improved from the beginning of the season where he couldn't dribble at all to like now he can dribble a little bit. Like, yeah, it's got better. He doesn't have great handles. I don't know where he's looking at. Wu has Cowherd as the best value.
It's good value.
It is good value. I like it. The Brooklyn Nets. Biggest need is Asa Newell. Yeah, they need everything. Wu has best value, Seraph. Who'd they...
Also good value.
I was going to say, that would be tremendous value at 27. The Boston Celtics have Noah Penda as the biggest need. You know what's crazy? Because of Tatum's injury, there's a domino effect where they're going to be bad. And then they're going to get a high pick in 2026. It's going to suck to watch.
Someone I work with elsewhere threw out the idea a couple weeks ago. He's like, what if they just did the Warriors 2019-20 route where they, you know, they get like a top three pick?
I think that could happen. I definitely see a world where that could happen.
And I was just like, don't put that into the universe. I don't appreciate it.
Noah Penda would spell trouble for Baylor Shireman. They play basically the same way. Except for, I think Shireman's supposed to be the better shooter. Supposed to be.
I think Shireman's going to get run next year. Or next year, meaning this upcoming season.
Yeah, hopefully. I mean, I think he's going to have to, especially with the injuries. Best value Wu has, Clayton Jr. Wouldn't that be annoying? That would be an annoying thing. They have Peyton Pritchard and Walter Clayton Jr. Oh, my God.
I think Pritchard's done a very good job developing, especially as a defender,
right,
for someone of his size.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You would try to put Clayton in every action possible, but they'd still have a ton of help behind them. But the shot making would be annoying. The
it
tough
would be
shot
so
making
annoying. Yeah, the tough shot making would be super annoying. At 29, Gavoni has the Suns' biggest need, Walter Clayton Jr. I guess. They need a guard. They only have what? Like Tyus Jones? Who's going to be gone? Wu has the best value. Rashear Fleming. We haven't heard Rashear Fleming's name this whole time.
I didn't want to say it, but yeah, we haven't.
What?
As soon as I saw... Okay. If I'm being honest, as soon as you scrolled and I saw his name, I was like, oh, shoot. We haven't even...
That's crazy by Gavoni and Wu. That's crazy. Crazy. Crazy behavior.
What a value pick that would be.
I mean, GM of the year?
No.
Redemption arc?
Let's not give Phoenix too much credit.
Yeah. The LA Clippers, Gavoni has biggest need, Rashear Fleming. What if draft night happens? The Heat keep their pick. Fleming is on the board and they pass on him. Heat Nation's collective minds would go.
That could honestly happen for like 10 players.
Very true.
Like,
very true.
Yeah. No, I think the part that's going to bug me, and I'm not, again, we talked about this a little bit at the beginning. It's going to really bug me if they trade the pick.
Right.
And you have like stuff like this happen.
Yeah, that would be very upsetting if I was a Heat fan.
I would understand if it happened like, you know, during our mock where I, you know, panicked or whatever. By the way, after that, I was mad at myself for doing that after. I was like, I shouldn't have done that.
I knew it was going to get reaction on social media though, but I didn't realize. I didn't realize it was going to get that much reaction. Yeah. Where people were like, what are you guys doing?
But like, let's say hypothetically it fell somehow, like somehow, some way like that.
Yeah.
I could understand them. I wouldn't be mad if they traded the pick and if that happened. You know what I mean?
For like, sure. In that scenario, but
if some, something dumb, which I, this is my prediction, something dumb happens where they trade it for whatever, doesn't matter what. And it's like you get guys like Jace Richardson, Ben Sarif,
right?
Like all of those guys are still available. Then I'm
Thomas
be,
Sorber falls to
I'm
your
gonna
lap.
Get, I'm gonna be upset. Like,
yeah,
I might have to get off of just playback for the night. Like, I would be genuinely upset because I know we're gonna be on playback for five reasons.
Please we are. We're gonna be on playback.tv/5RSN on draft night.
I'm gonna be genuinely upset if that's something that does happen.
Yeah.
Just
yeah,
putting
I
it out
be
there
too.
For, yeah.
Not as mad as you. I'll laugh about it. You'll be
oh, I'm
genuinely
gonna laugh
angry
too, but I'm gonna be behind that laugh. I'm gonna be like
seething
what the
anger,
F, man.
Yeah, like, yeah. Seething anger. Yeah. Best value, Ryan Kalkbrenner.
It's good
learn
value.
Learn from Zubac. Yes,
that's good. I kind of like that for Ryan if he goes
yeah
there.
Yeah, that'd be a good spot for Kalkbrenner, and you'd get to watch him run all the time, Matt. But let us know what you think is going to happen in the 2025 NBA draft. Send us your mock drafts. I'm Digital Adele. You can find me on Twitter under that. If you want to send yours to Matt, you can tag him. You can add him. What's your handle, Matt?
At @NPH_824_. I have a lot of bad tweets. No. I don't tweet as much as I used to, but
which is
I think
probably
the last couple of days I've broken my element a little bit. There's every once in a while I'll get like mad at something online. I'll just rage tweet about it or whatever. Say LSD in the chat. That's not nice. Some Fleming just to draft Colin Murray Boyles or Will Riley.
Oh my god, dude.
Oh.
Well, that is that.
It'd be okay. How insane would it actually be if the Heat didn't work out a single first round pick?
I mean, it's close to happening. There's only 2 weeks left.
It just that'd be kind of like a dumb thing to do.
What, you're not happy with Jamal Mashburn Jr. coming in for workout?
That's fine. I've watched a lot of Jamal. A lot more Jamal than probably most people have watched.
Yeah, I haven't watched 1 minute of Jamal Mashburn Jr.
I've watched a lot. Not this last year, but over his college career, specifically at New Mexico, I watched a lot of Jamal Mashburn Jr.
Oh, well, I mean, you're going to be our go-to guy whenever that undrafted free agent is the only yeah. new addition to the Heat roster from this draft class. But that is it for us today, guys. We'll see you next time.
Done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.